You break it, I fix it hour with Pilot. I am so glad to be back broadcasting to you today. You know that we are your troubleshooting touchstone in a trying time. If your website's down, your car's kaput, or your flame-throwing guitar isn't igniting properly, you know what to do. Call Armageddon's one and only Fix-It Hotline radio station. Today we're broadcasting from Treehouse Down, and I could not be more excited. So, if you want to call or write in, you know what to do. The link to this will be posted in Discord, or you can put your question into the chat. I am always happy to give advice, but as always, it may be fun, it may not be good. So, let's get started. Before we put anybody on the spot, I do want to say that this program is brought to you by Hard Rock Coffee, which is designed to help you stay up on late nights keeping watch and fixing engines. Hard Rock Coffee. Life is hard. Coffee shouldn't be. While we wait, I will just play a little bit of music to cover our time, unless... Oh, here we go! It's our first caller, Maria from Jersey City. Maria, you're on the air. How can I help?
Oh my God, it's so good to hear from you. I've been a long-time listener, big fan. You helped me through some hard times. You know, it's been okay here in Jersey, but, you know, I'm not far from New York City, you know, increasingly the lights, the weird lights that happen at night. You know, they just be getting brighter and brighter, and I'm having trouble sleeping. In this day and age, you need all the sleep you can get. It's a little bit crazy out there. And so I'm torn between, do I continue to ignore the lights and do something about it, or should I try to investigate this? I don't know. Most people, we're not crossing the bridge over to the island anymore. Nobody does that, right? That's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy for not crossing, but the lights, I don't know. Maybe have you heard anything about these lights, or should I just like invest in some light blocking curtains of some sort? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I'm not in the tri-state area myself, but I have heard all the stuff that's been coming out about New York City. I think you are right not to go over that bridge. That is just some crazy stuff out there. In regards to investigating the lights, I think it sort of depends, Maria, like, what kind of gear do you have? Do you have your protective equipment for, you know, radiation, heavy shockwaves, anything like that? Because, you know, if you're going into a hazardous zone, you want to be able to make sure you take care of yourself. So, you know, I can give you advice on how to set up protective, you know, blackout curtains, white light, white noise type generator stuff for your house. But, you know, if you're trying to go out, I need a little more specifics on what kind of equipment you have going on at home.
That's excellent, excellent question. Yeah, because, you know, that's what I don't know about the lights. Are they dangerous? Am I safe? Is it just, you know, nobody seems to know anything about them. I've got the standard kit everybody has. You know, I make sure my kids, Tommy and Tony, they're good. So, you know, what everybody's rocking these days. So nothing, I mean, there's a lot of competition for that stuff here. So, you know, you try to take care of what you got. So nothing, maybe not really adventuring gear. Stuff to just keep you safe in your home.
So you're packing, what, you know, your flashlights, you've got standard heavy duty earplugs, things like that. You've got, you got the acid rain jackets, anything like that? Keeping that all safe? Good?
You know, the acid rain jackets recently were stolen. Been trying to find a way. I don't know if you have any suggestions there about what I can do to replace that, because now we're basically stuck inside anytime it rains. And it rains a lot now. It rains like crazy. And being this close to water, it makes me
real nervous. You're coastal. That's no good. Yeah. All right. Well, for replacing an acid jacket, maybe trying to fix up, see if you can treat anything you've got. I would say that the first thing to make sure you've got is any sort of covering, like, you know, you've got a poncho, you've got some sort of long coat, maybe a blanket if you need it. Make sure you've got something that'll cover just about as much as possible. From there, I think you're going to want to get it treated. Waterproofing, of course. You can waterproof fabrics just by dipping them in wax. It's not super, you know, it's not super comfortable, but that's a good first step.
I have a quick question about the wax. So a little while back, I was really into Scentsy, you know, that MLM, you know, I got into a lot of them. Do you think I could reuse my Scentsies as a wax covering? I don't know. Is that, quite sure what it's made of, but do you think that would be possible?
You know, I think actually that might be a pretty good idea. I don't know too much about Scentsy myself, but I did hear that they were putting some interesting ingredients in to get the scent in, to get it smelling just how you want. And I think, you know, if you are melting that stuff down, you might be able to mix it with, well, I was going to say hydroloptane. That's a little hard to get just, you know, if you're out scavenging, but
yeah, I'm not even sure how to spell it.
You don't need to spell it to grab it, but, I think maybe just for around the house stuff that you could pick out, if you've got any kind of, you know, what am I thinking of? Milk. If you've got any kind of milk that you can mix into the wax of the candles, if you're smelting down the Scentsies, I think that might react with...
Do you think if it's in cheese form? I got a lot of palm, mozzarella. Is it too late if it's already in cheese form? Or do I got to stick to milk?
No. That could be good. That could be very, very good. That's got the long-term, you know, it's got the long-term preserved properties. I think if you shred it up real good and you melt it down, you can put it into the wax with the cheese.
Got it.
And then, you know, you melt that out, you can lay out your blanket, your jacket, whatever you've got, and you can sort of paint it on to get it fully covered. Might look a little weird, but it'll keep you safe from any kind of acid rain thing that you are going to experience as you go out looking for those lights.
All right. Yeah, I greatly appreciate your advice. I think the only thing I'll have to contest there is my husband, Johnny. I don't know if he'll feel good about us using up the mozzarella to go out, but, you know, we got to stay safe. It's hard times out there. I mean, if anything, we have plenty of mozzarella that we stored up over the years here, you know, for such emergencies. So
that's good
thank
to hear.
You
that's
so
good
much
to hear.
For your advice. And, you know, if you happen to find your way up in Jersey, we'd love to take you for a slice sometime.
You know, I'd really appreciate that. You know, we're always on the move here with our setup. We've got the van, it's got the antenna. So, you know, we try to keep light if we need to pack up in a hurry. So, you know, if we are ever down there, I will absolutely take you up on that, Maria. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
You too. All right, everybody. Thank you once again for tuning in. I'm real excited to be here with you guys broadcasting once again. It's been, you know, a little inconsistent lately, but I am glad that we're able to get back to you now. I can see that we have our next caller on the line. It is Arthur calling in from Beaufort, South Carolina. How's it going, Arthur?
It's going great, except, you know, some people I know, they have, you know, a house to live in, and we're just kind of having to rough it at the moment. And I know you've got some expertise on the automotive side, so I'm just looking at ways of adapting my vehicle as a, not just as a shelter, but a house, an actual home that we can kind of spread out and adapt to things as they're, you know, slowly evolving.
Yeah.
I know the last caller was looking for ways to waterproof things, and this car, you know, it's good and all, and, you know, it's good in rain, but it does leak when there's too much rain. It kind of seeps in from below.
I gotcha.
So in terms of like waterproofing and that kind of thing, you know, cheese is good and all. I imagine Cheese Whiz probably is better in some ways because it's already a liquid.
Yeah.
Could fill in those cracks and voids.
It's particularly good for fixing up cars, like you said, because you can get it in. It's a little bit like that sealant foam. Sealant foam's pretty hard to come by these days, but the Cheese Whiz, you've got it in those pressurized cans, is pretty good for filling in the cracks. What kind of vehicle have you got? Is it, you know, sedan, midsize?
Oh, it's one of them. I guess it's a Hyundai.
Hyundai.
We found it. You know, they kind of had a reputation for being able to get into real easy, like, and you could just kind of take the USB stick and stick it in there and walk off with it. So we got it secondhand, and it's doing, like I say, we're turning it into a home. And, you know, so the brothers, they got the front half. It's almost like the downstairs, and I've got the upper half, which is the back seat. That's the upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of latrine facilities, again, we've had to adapt. You know, it's we used to have outhouses, and we're back to outhouses now. So, yeah.
Whatever works, whatever you need to do, you know?
Exactly.
I understand.
Yeah, you got to keep those things separated. Now, the best part is that we can get this thing, and, you know, we had just enough fuel to mm-hmm. move on and leave behind the latrine, so we're not having, you know, to do all that fancy upkeep of an actual facility like that. So, but again, you know, our biggest concern was keeping the water from inundating from below.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll take that, you know, that advice to heart. We'll just have to go scavenging for some of that pressurized cheese whiz to keep the watertight bottom on that old Hyundai.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm also now thinking about ways that you might be able to, because the cheese whiz is good for, you know, plugging up any holes that might be leaking, any way for that. But if you've got just sort of, you want to just sort of generally shore up the underside of your vehicle, I'm thinking, you know, one thing that you might be able to do, I don't know if you've got access to any kind of, what are they called? You know, those, it used to be a Home Depot type thing, but now it's just those big stores where you can just sort of get any kind of, if there's any, you know, any kind of place where you can have it as a resource, you know, go in and get what you need when you need it. If you can find any kind of like those sort of backyard mats that you would put, not so much the welcome mats, but like they're a little tougher, I guess, for scraping off your boots and things like that. If you can get those and really lay them down towards in the trunk, in the footwells, anywhere you're worried about the water getting up and in, you can use those to sort of create, you know, some sort of waterproof barrier, because that's what they're for. And
well, that gives me a good idea. We can get some towels. We could trade for some towels. I mm-hmm. know it. And, you know, they're a little softer. They might plug the holes up better. But, you know, a big old mat might just do the trick also.
Yeah.
So maybe a combination of both things.
Yeah.
But getting some of those goods, as you were talking about, is a little hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what we found was trading for things, bartering, as it were, is probably the best pathway to acquiring things. You know, especially if you don't have it already. In essence, we also traded in a way, getting our Hyundai.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you know, I'm thinking we're going to have to probably trade to get some stuff. So you got to have something to trade something. And so leastwise, we got the car. And so what we found was that if we could find a wild animal walking alongside the road, you know, you could just, you know, kind of veer off real quick and knock him down.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got something. That's money in the bank right there.
That's you
trade
yeah.
that for some of them that are mads.
Yeah,
we're golden. We last all year. I could tell.
That's gonna happen. That's a great plan. And I bet you're in an area where those larger animals are pretty common these days.
Well, some of the smaller ones, yes. If we was farther back from the coast,
mm-hmm.
You know, where the bigger animal, like a bear or a deer, might have more chance. But yeah, we's having to go after some smaller varmint types, and that takes a lot of gasoline. Sometimes going off in them fields to get a squirrel occasionally, and sometimes I hate to say it, some feral house animals. Mm-hmm. I don't like saying that, but you know, meat's meat, and
yeah.
it's a good, and you can trade it, but, you know, you got to keep this car, this car's our house now, and,
you know, you do what you got to do, you got to keep your car running, you got to get the fuel, you got to get it taken care of. If that's the shelter that you got to do what you got to do. I understand. We up here, we don't have so many of the big animals either, but we have this phenomena, I don't know if you guys have the lights where you are, I know they're over New York. You heard the last caller.
That's right.
We have sometimes these sounds that come out, very, very low, sort of rhythmic kind of sounds happening, I would say, twilight or dawn hours. So you get a lot of the crepuscular animals. They come out and listen. It's like hypnotizing. So if you're ever trying to figure, if you ever notice something like that happening in your area, that you could be paying attention to dawn or dusk as good times to go out, see what kind of animals are out there.
Definitely, because I know, you know, like chickens, they know when it's light, and they'll tell you. And other animals, they like to come out when it's safe. So that, you know, as far as lights go, I have to say they are coming at different times. You don't always know when you're going to see them. And I've been fooled. I've been tricked a few times with those lights coming up, thinking it was the wrong time of day. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, and that's how bright it is, I tell you, it is bright. It will wake you up, just like the first caller said. It will, you know,
mess with your sleep.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And you cannot black. There are no blackout shades for a Hyundai as such. Again, you got to adapt. You got to acquire those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, got to get more towels or more mats or what have you, which means we got to go hunting. Well, I shouldn't say hunting, but, you know, driving and getting the small environments collected up. Anyways, the point being that, you know, the lights are also not helping. It is not a help. It is just downright frustrating.
Yeah.
To see, you know, this cap.
If you were just in, you know, if you were just in one place, if you were in a house you didn't have, or, you know, small, whatever kind of shelter you had, I would ordinarily say you could think about painting the windows, but in a car, I know that's just a no-go, because, you know, you got to keep your eyes out for anything 360.
Understood. You know, you want to still obey all the laws. The windows got to be clear to see through when you're operating the vehicle. That's so, Pilot, I want to thank you so much for giving me that clear advice, and you have a good day.
No problem. You too. And hey, you know, if it ends up helping, if you get the chance, call back in. I always like to know how people are doing down the line, if there's anything I can do to help.
You got it. Thank you, Dunn.
Have a great day. All right. Next caller I can see on our line, it is Chet from El Paso, Texas. Chet, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing just fine. How you doing, Pilot?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm getting by, let's say.
Times are hard out there. Times are hard.
No, but go ahead.
If I could, I wanted to say, you know, these lights people are talking about, I have not seen any of those lights down here in Texas. I'm curious if you think they might be connected to the water, because I'm nowhere near the water, and I don't see any of these dang lights. I don't know what you people are talking about. So I'm just curious if I get your thoughts on that at some point. But one thing I did want to say is your last caller mentioned the rumblings.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, we haven't had rain. We don't have the acid rain ever. We got the dust storms. The dust storms are bad down here in Texas. They just keep coming and coming. I had to give up driving my car because the engine just seized up. There's nothing I could do about it. Luckily, you know, down here in Texas, lots of wildlife ranches and things like that. So we were able to go poach some camels and some llamas, what have you. And that's how we're traveling these days. But man, those, you know, whatever you call them, crepuscular rumblings, man, they come up, those animals just freeze up. We can't go anywhere between 6 and like 8 p.m. We're just stuck because they just sit there staring at the skyline. We can't get them to move. I've tried kicking them. I've tried pushing them. I've tried leaving them with carrots, what have you. I can't do anything. So I don't know if anybody else has had any issues, but I guess what I was calling in to ask about is, does anybody have any dust tips? How do I deal with lots of dust? Is anybody else dealing with all this dust, or is it just us? And you know, has anybody found any way to snap these dang animals out of that trance? Because man, I'm trying to go get groceries, I'm trying to pillage, I'm trying to do all these dang things, and I can't get them to move. So if you got any feedback on any of those, I would sure appreciate it.
Yeah, Chet, no problem. You know, those are some great, great questions. First thing off the top of my head, I'm also not coastal. I'm also a little inland, so maybe it is the lights that have to do with the water or something like that. I think that's real good. I just try and, well, you know, we move around a lot, but I try and keep up on the news from a couple different areas. I think, you know, I would love to know if there's any other callers out there who are coastal, if you're not if you're not on the ocean, if you're near big body of water, something like that, if you're seeing the lights, we can try and figure this out together. In the meantime, though, Chet, you had that question about how you get the animals to snap out when they're hearing those rumblings. I'm wondering, you know, I asked Maria about this. I'm afraid I did not ask Arthur about this, but do you guys have any of that sort of heavy-duty ear protection? Kind of heavy-duty earplugs, headphones, anything like that? Because I'm not sure right now how you'd go about retrofitting that kind of thing to animals, but I'm wondering if it's something they can hear versus if it's something they can feel. You know, when sound gets really heavy, strong vibrations, if you're feeling it in your chest versus if you're hearing it, what is getting to their attention? What's keeping them in place, that kind of thing?
Well, that is a good question. You know, I'm going to have to try finding something to stick in Darlene's ears. Now, Darlene, that's not my wife. That's my llama. And, you know, because we got Rudy and we got Snapper, and those are two count, and they're biters. I ain't going nowhere near their front ends. Their back ends aren't good either, but the front ends, it's dangerous up there. But Darlene, she's a sweetheart. And, you know, I might just try to find some, you know, some random rags, towels, what have you. I know you guys were talking about Cheese Whiz before me. I'll sob them up real good with Cheese Whiz. I can wedge them in there pretty good and then see if that helps. But, yeah, I never thought about the difference between the sounds and the rumblings. I didn't know. I never really thought about that. I do have to say, you know, it might be a rumbling kind of thing, because I noticed the bats get a little loopy when it happens too. Yeah. So,
They'd be extra sensitive for that. You guys have a lot of bats in your area down there?
Oh yeah, we got lots of bats. They come up from, you know, Mexico when it gets too hot, and they head back down in the winter. So, the migratory patterns, they're getting a little off too. So I don't know. You know, maybe that's connected to the rumblings or the lights. I don't know much these days, pilots. I didn't know much to begin with, and now that all is going down, I know even less. So
we're all figuring it out together. Yeah. So I would, for your questions, I would say trying to see if you can block up Darlene's ears and see if that makes any kind of difference, if it helps at all. For the dust, dust is a little trickier because, you know, just by its nature, it gets in everywhere. It's a little harder, but if you can hook up some kind of small fan generator, something pretty targeted, maybe you can blow it out of any of the most key areas. I would focus on, you know, prioritizing, making sure you know what needs to stay dust-free, what needs to stay clean, and what you can sort of let slide if you really have to, that kind of thing.
Man, well, at this point, I just take I just prefer myself to be dust free.
Yeah.
I don't really care about much else, but yeah, you know, we'll have to see. You know, generators down here are getting all gummed up with the dust. I tried the solar panels, but then the solar panels get covered with dust. It's just dust everywhere. It's darker than the steers took us most times around here. So,
solar panels don't sound like they're doing much good for you then. In that case,
you know what? If we get any ideas or anything works, I'll call back in and share what we got with your listeners, and hopefully we can be a help to some people. But I do appreciate you having the show, and we listen to you all the time and having good tips. So thank you very much, Pilot.
Anytime. Thanks for calling in. All righty. We've had some great questions so far today, and I hope we can keep them coming. I think I can see our next caller here on the line, Bob from Chicago, Illinois. How are things out in Chicago, Bob?
Oh, thank you for calling me or for letting me call in. I'm real excited to chat. I got time to kill, you know, stuck on the L on the train and all this nonsense going on. I'm thinking I'm going to be here for a little while. I'm excited. I've been listening for a long time. Maybe you can help me out. I got on the train to go to work this morning. And we've been stopped for a while. There's lots of water below us, right? Coming all the way in from Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't get the light out here in Chicago, but Midwest, you know, but we are getting hit with that acid rain. I'm real concerned. And main thing is I just want to get out of this train. I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah. That's a toughie, especially it's raining right now. I assume it's just sort of been, from what I hear from your area, it's pretty consistent rain. Those big bodies of water.
Yeah, and I think it's really the rain and the noise, like we mentioned, it's really bugging the Lake Michigan wildlife. You know, we normally not a real dangerous body of water, but like I, I'm seeing some concerning red spots in the water and in bubbles. I'm concerned. I got to get to work or I'll stay alive. I don't know. I'm not sure what
I'd say stay alive, then get to work. You gotta keep your priorities in order. But okay. So we're looking at trying to get you one off this train, two to work, three keep you out the rain, keep you out of any kind of animals that may be coming up from around, maybe inside Lake Michigan. I hope nothing's learning to walk out there. Does that sound about
with
right?
With that acid rain, who knows?
Who knows? All right. Okay. And did you bring any kind of protective gear? I don't know what kind of stuff you pack to go to work these days.
So I'm looking in my backpack, and my wife did pack water wings.
Water wings, okay. It's a great start. water wings sound like a good place to start. They're going to keep you from, I think, from any kind of, you know, we're talking about animals coming up from the depths. Water wings are going to hopefully, you know, keep you at least afloat, give you that sort of, you can spend your time propelling instead of just trying to tread water. So let's see, what can we do with some water wings? What can we do for you? Bob, let me think. Okay. So I have a question. This is going to sound a little bit silly, but, I'd say, you know, how big, how pressurized are these water wings? How high pressure can you get them?
Well, you know, I haven't inflated them yet, but, I can give it a go. Mm-hmm. I am real concerned about these fish that look bigger than normal.
Yeah, the fish are concerning. Because what I'm thinking is, if you can get them really, really pressurized, like real good, and I know this might be a little bit of a stretch, you might be able to use them as propulsion. Try and get yourself over the water. Turn those water wings into regular wings, if you understand what I'm saying. But it might be a tall order given... You're still stuck on that train. Let's see. Now, I'm not too familiar with the L. What kind of seating arrangement type thing do you have going on?
Oh yeah. So it's chairs that face each other. It's like the subway, but it's elevated.
Okay.
You know, that's why it's called that. And yeah, I mean, I can give flight a go, let you know.
I'm hoping we can maybe keep that a backup option. I'm wondering if you okay. and maybe the other passengers could work together and try and get some of those chairs out off the wall, tip them up, you know, sort of V style, turn them into a V-shaped, not ideal, but it could be a sort of canoe if you really need to get started with that.
We'll get enough paddles together because I'm real concerned about these acid fish that are out there.
Yeah, the acid fish are an issue. I'm also hoping though that the metal or the plastic or whatever they make those seats out of is enough to sort of keep them from biting through. If you've got any kind of packed any kind of lunch for work today, I know, you know, people are sort of more in the habit of packing what they can, carrying it with them, than trying to depend on food when they get there. I don't like to suggest it, but if you're in an absolute pinch, you might be able to use that to distract some of the fish.
Okay, yeah. I think that sounds like a plan. I didn't like what I packed for lunch today anyway.
All right. Well, that's something. Is there anything I've left unaddressed for you? Any kind of questions I can help you out with? Where do you work that's making you come into work these days? Where do you work?
Oh, it's one of those tech startups, you know. I got unlimited vacation, but sometimes they don't like it when I take it, so.
That makes too much sense. Listen, you know what? If you're there, while you're there, if you can use their generators, their tech, any kind of thing that you can do to just sort of redistribute that energy, get it out, I bet there's lots of people in your area who are still needing it.
Well, thank you. I'll give it a shot, and hopefully it goes well.
You got this, Bob. Stay strong out there and fight off those fish. I know you can do it, okay?
Will do.
Thank you for calling in. All right, next caller, I am seeing Luigi from Italy. Is that you? Wow, long distance.
Ciao.
How's it going?
Ciao, pilota.
Ciao, Luigi. How's it
Ciao.
Going? How are you doing? It's great
molto
to have
bene, grazie.
Caller.
Very good. Grazie, molto bene.
didn't know.
Dispiace. Sorry, me English. English not very good.
You're doing all right. You're doing great.
But in Italian, in Italy, quando io voglio, where I am right now, gigantic, very big, how do you say, hella slime. Hella slime.
I don't like to hear that.
In America, also gigantic hella slime, green slime, very bad for your skin.
They going around absorbing people, these hella slimes?
Yes, it also kill you and your family and the little baby deer that the llama also.
Oh dear. Oh no. Well, I misspoke. I'm so sorry.
In America, do you have the hell slime yet?
Hell slime. I haven't experienced those so much. Well, you know, I'm traveling up and down the coast, inland a little bit, back and forth. We try and go a little bit of everywhere to make sure that we can reach people in different areas. I didn't know our antenna could reach as far as Italy. That is amazing and very heartening to hear. Thank you. But I do think I've heard reports of the hell slimes coming out of Florida. So if we have any callers coming in from Florida, if you want to report in and let us know what you guys are dealing with down there, I would love to hear it. But hell slimes, let's see. Are you looking for advice on how to outrun them, on how to fight them? What are you looking for, Luigi? What can I help you with?
Thank you. I connect with your radio because I am in the mountains, high in the mountains, and I have shortwave radio. Mm-hmm. And I look for other people to find out that hell slime take over their country too. Yeah, all gone in mm-hmm. Italy. Mm-hmm. I am the only one left. I am very high.
In the mountains,
the hell slime has not made it to me yet. I am out running the hell slime up the mountain.
Okay. I see. You're in the mountains. You've got valleys. Are there any other mountains not so nearish to you, I bet, but
I'm on the highest mountain.
The highest mountain. Oh dear. Okay.
And the hell slime has eaten everybody.
Everybody. Oh, that's.
But it's not in America. It's surprising because America is like a great hell slime, no? And so now you exist, and we gone with all our art is gone.
Right.
So funny, right? Funny.
It is a little funny. I gotta say, I am real sorry for your loss because that sounds rough. Honestly, it sounds pretty rough, Luigi. As far as trying to escape, trying to outrun the hell slimes, I can't recommend flying to every single caller who comes in. But have you thought about, is there any way for you to build some sort of hang gliding device? I don't know what resources you're working with.
I don't have enough cheese for that.
No cheese. Oh, no.
I know the cheese is a big solution in America. Cheese Whiz, which is never been
not so much for you guys. You go in for us. You have your more regional Parmesan. I don't know what kind of cheese comes out of the mountains of Italy, but maybe a little bit less flexible.
Asiago is a very good cheese. Okay. You would like that if we still had it. Mm-hmm, you would like it very much. But it's in the hell slime now.
It's in the hell slime. Okay.
I don't call for solution. Mm-hmm. All is lost in Italy. Just to see if we're alone. That's all.
I think, well, as much as I can give you, I think Florida is in a pretty similar situation. If there still is a Florida, I gotta say, I'm a little fuzzy on that one there. I really wish there was more I could do for you, Luigi, but it is good to hear your voice. It's good to know that there's at least one survivor out there in Italy. And I gotta say, please call back in anytime you can. I want to keep hearing your voice, okay?
Grazie, Paile. Grazie mille. Maybe if I survive on my hang glider, I'll hang glide to Florida.
You got it. Hey, you know what? On your way there, stop by Chicago. Stop by Chicago, pick up Bob. Sounds like he needs a friend to get him out of that jam.
Okay. Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. Good to hear from you. All right, I see that our next caller, wow, we got a hotline today. We've got Holly coming in from, oh, you're pretty local. So I'm out here in Treehouse Down. We're a little outside Rutland, Vermont, and Holly, it looks like that is where you are from too. Holly, how's it going?
Hi, Pilot. Oh my God. So I don't know if you remember me, but like we used to be, it's Holly Strickland from elementary school. Do you remember?
Oh my God, Holly Strickland. Yeah. Oh, it's been years.
It's no, so good I know, to hear right? Your I mean, voice. My family moved away for a while, you remember, in middle school, and that was devastating for us. But I, you know, my family's roots were always here in Vermont. So, you know, when shit started happening, I was like, I gotta get back home, see if I can organize. But, you know, just remembering deep, you know, because, you know, we could all see the signs of things are happening with the earth. You remember, like, when we tried to, for our middle school science project, build that solar oven, and so we could try to bake cookies. It was a cloudy day, and, you know, our parents tried to tell us, like, it's not gonna work. And then we forgot it outside, and then the sun came out, and then we had charcoal instead of cookies.
That was a good time. I'd totally forgotten all about that. Do you think it's still viable? You know, I don't know. We get sort of, you know, intermittent sunshine, but if it's something that, if that solar oven project, you think it could still work out? Is that what you're calling about, or is it?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of calling back. So, you know, I'm back into town recently, and I do, you know, just, you know, thinking about, like, you know, you know, it's so good to hear your voice, because, you know, I don't think we imagine this is where the world would end up. We kind of like talked about, like, how could we survive if things go bad? And so, yeah, I think I'm really invested in how, you know, the solar energies or whatever we can use from our resources to survive. I'm trying to, you know, the school's not really in use anymore in the same way it was, right? It's kind of, you know, a ground for people to come get what they need. So, yeah. You know, you know, resources are limited, especially once it gets cold here, you know, in the winter. So, you know, any solar projects you've heard from people that I could, you know, try to do. I mean, baking cookies, maybe that's like, you know, maybe that's step one.
A little sweetness, you know?
They were still well fed, yeah.
Yeah. Solar projects that I've heard from a couple people. Well, you know, just first things first, I do have to say, if we've got the school, big flat roof on that school. Good place to set up solar panels if you can get the chance, if you can get the resources. I think solar projects that I've heard other people talking about. Okay, we've got that solar energy. We had one person call in from Montana a couple weeks ago. They were thinking about how to set up some sort of solar panels and see if they could use them to get their wagon, get that hooked up to the generator. So that's a more of a mobile question, I suppose. But looking at solar power as an option for keeping your vehicles powered, for keeping oven, great. Having some sort of way to cook your food consistently, I think that's a really good thing for you to pursue, Holly. I think that that's a good plan.
I know we did, you know, hung out a lot together, but there was one time, do you remember Jimmy, what was his last name? It doesn't matter. He was a little bit of a rebel, you know, he was cute. And like, so one time he's like, I know how to get on the roof of the school, and I didn't believe him, but then he showed me. So I actually know how to get on this roof. It's like weird to think that weird memory is going to be helpful here. This moment. Oh God, man.
It's crazy how stuff comes back. I wonder how that guy's doing. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, seriously. I mean, I think he's wearing his acid rain covering. So he strikes me as a guy that would not do that these days. You know, maybe he's off battling that slime. I don't know. I heard that guy, you know, from Italy. I don't know. This seems like the kind of thing he would get into and be like,
he's got that intercontinental adventurer vibe for sure.
For sure. For sure.
You know. Sacrifices for fashion. I hope not.
For sure. Well, you know, if you, you know, I know you stay busy with this, but if you want to come on down to the school too, you know, it sounds like you've gathered a lot of expertise and people around you. We'd love to have your help.
We can get you on the airwaves, or, you know, if there's anybody out there who wants to hop into the studio and share their stories, we're always happy to have guests.
Thank you, it's so good. And I hope we catch up too. There's just, I mean, all the ridiculous stuff, I mean, a lot of stuff I couldn't say on air, right? No one embarrass myself, but Thanks for doing what you do.
Some things in the memories, but it's good.
Yeah,
to right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I appreciate you being, you know, doing this during these hard times. It's just a little crazy out there.
You know, we try. But hey, thanks for calling in. And if you get the chance, bake some cookies for me, okay?
Oh, definitely, for sure. I still remember your favorite.
Snickerdoodle. All right, everybody. I think, we are rolling along. I think it's time for our next caller coming in. That is Mike from Niagara. Mike, how are you doing? You are on.
Hi. You hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. I can hear you. You guys are coming in from, are you right by the falls? Real up close?
Yes, definitely. Falls are close by, yeah.
How are you guys doing out there? I haven't had the chance.
It's wet.
Wet. I'm wet. Yeah, I can hear that. Are they getting bigger? Are those falls getting bigger? Is that correct?
They are. Something's going on. It's wetter than normal.
Oh, dear. I don't like to hear that.
I'm trying to move a bit away from it. I'm up the Clifton Hill a little bit.
Okay.
Still wet. Not normally wet here. Misty. Very misty.
Misty. Ooh. Wonder what's in those mists. Okay. Well, you know what, Mike? What can I help you with today? What are you working on? Or what are you struggling with?
Oh, I'm just hearing all these things going on all over the world. Mm-hmm. Slime. Florida's still here. Problems. I'm wondering if this mist is part of it. What could the mist be about?
You know, that is a really good question. I have had a couple callers, not from the Niagara area, but I've had some people call in about mists in other, you know, sort of inland bodies of water, not Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan's still dealing with those acid fish, but for the mists, I would say, listen, the big thing for mists, the big thing you got to worry about is visibility. You want to make sure.
I can see the mist.
You can see the mists, but if are they coming, like, what kind of rate are they approaching at? Have you, anybody that you know, had to go into the mists for any kind of purpose?
I am in the mist.
Okay.
I have no purpose, though. I'm in it.
All right.
It's blue sky, though.
Blue sky. Okay. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. You keep your eyes on that sky. You make sure that, to the best
of your ability. Go higher up the hill. I'll go uphill more. It's still misty, though.
Okay. Listen, I want you to keep an ear out. Mists can mess with your visibility. They can make it a little hard to see what's coming for you on the ground level. They can make it a little hard to tell what's going on. But I want you to if you don't have any kind of light or anything you can do, it's daytime out, so it may or may not be helpful to you. But what I want you to do,
Mike, get on the Ferris wheel.
Get on the. You guys have a Ferris wheel. Why didn't you say so? That is perfect. That's going to get you great vantage point to see whole area. Get you up in the air. Outside.
I'm on it already. Don't worry. You don't have to convince me. I'm on.
Oh, fantastic.
Going.
Okay.
It's misty.
All right. Is it misty all the way up the top?
Still misty so far.
Okay.
Still blue sky.
Okay. Listen, you're not the operator of this Ferris wheel, are you? You're a passenger. What's going on there? Oh dear. Okay.
It was just going.
It's just going. All right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder if you can turn that into some kind of water wheel. If you got all that water going on, you've got that Ferris wheel, but might be more of a
clearing community. A bit.
Oh, it is. It is. Okay.
I see.
You see. Let's see. What do you got in that area? You got any birds headed for you?
They usually head away from me, and they still are. Yes.
Okay. All right. That's a good. That can be a good sign. Depending. Listen. How are you feeling lately? Mike?
Kind of excited.
Excited?
Yeah. I'm enjoying this, and I see the falls now.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see the problem.
Okay, and what might that be?
The falls are going up.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That'll get you. Okay.
That's why there's mist everywhere, but I don't know what the fish are doing.
Uh-oh. Those birds that you mentioned, what do they look like? What kind of shape are those birds?
Well, like, they got wings. They're big, dark, colorful.
No fish, though. No fish up in the air with those birds.
Some of them have fish.
Okay, so they're carrying the fish.
That's for them.
Okay. All right. Let's see. upside down waterfall. That's a little outside my range of experience, but you know what? We're going to try and get you through this. Okay. Let's see. I think in this situation, honestly, in this situation, my instinct would be to dig. I need a barrel.
I think I need a barrel.
You could do a barrel. I don't know what kind of access do you have? Do you have a barrel just on site that you can grab, any kind of thing, or are you sort of strapped for barrels locally?
I actually opened a barrel shop in town.
Oh, fantastic!
So I have lots. Yeah.
You doing a good business these days? A lot of.
No, I want people to buy them to maybe go over the falls in the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't sold any yet.
Yeah, you know you might now that it's going up, you might get some people who are interested in sort of that joyride going.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Thrill ride. Well, let's see. Is there anything in particular that I can help you with, or because? Listen, you know, I do like to support local businesses, but if you're just here to plug your barrel shop, I am going to have to ask if you have a question.
No, I'm just here to plug the barrel shop, to be honest.
Ah, well, you know what? That's fine. We all got to do what it takes. And listen.
Makes barrels.
Takes barrels.
Clifton Hill.
Takes barrels. Clifton Hill. I respect the hustle, Mike. And hey, anybody out there who's listening, if you are in the Niagara area, if you are around, if you're looking for something fun to do, it's sounding like those mists, not as concerning as I thought they might be. You might just want to consider heading over, getting a barrel from our pal Mike here, and taking a ride.
Call it Viagra Falls now.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm going to go grab my barrel and strap in.
Sounds good. You have a good one. Have a good time. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see who is up next. I'm just taking a look. We have a lot of callers out here today. Let's see. Big Petey calling in from Philadelphia. How's it going, Big Petey? What are you up to today?
Hey there, Pilot. How are you doing? I'm here in Philadelphia, and I mean, I know there's lots of crazy stuff going on out there, but I'm looking for love.
Oh.
That's what I'm looking for these days.
You know, it's not my actual business, but I'm happy to help. What's up?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've talked to everybody, and I'm getting nowhere. I don't know. You know, it's hard these days finding a lady, Pilot. I mean, the water's just terrible here. It smells like a damn hoagie. Every time I take a shower, I come out smelling worse than I did when I went in. I mean, I get halfway down the block, the ladies are scattering. I don't know what to do, Pilot. I'm at my wit's end. I'm lonely. Holly, your friend Holly, it seems like you know her. She sounded real nice. So just say, what's up, Holly? How you doing? You know.
Oh, that's pretty maybe. Great. I will say, she's not local, but like if you guys can, if you got a phone line, but that may be a little hard to manage in this time. But you know what? If you ever come up to, if you're ever on your way up to Vermont, you know, come, let me know, let Holly know. We'll go get drinks sometime. It'll be a good time. But to your question.
I mean,
question,
yeah, it's only, what's that, like a, I don't know, 2 week hike. I ain't got a car no more. All these cars are dying. I ain't got enough cheese whiz to make mine run. Hell, you know, we're here in Philly. You know, we're making cheesesteaks, and I went from using cheddar to the cheese whiz. Now everybody's using cheese whiz to plug up their holes and grease up their cars. And apparently people are sticking them down in camel's ears in Texas. I don't know what the hell, but now I'm down to using government cheese and cheese powder and whipping that up. And, you know, the beef's all gone. So, man, we're frying up rats and powdered cheese these days. And I mean, it's terrible, Pilot. And how am I going to get a lady like that? You can't say, hey, you want to come over for a rat steak? Nobody wants a damn rat steak, Pilot. I mean, can't even get down to the Wawa. The Wawa's all blocked up. The creek's filling up with that stinky water. I can't go anywhere. I'm like trapped here. I ain't got no companionship. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm at my wit's end here. So anything you can do to help me. I don't know if you got any dating tips, dating advice in the apocalypse. If anybody out there can just point me in the right direction. I am lonely, Pilot.
You know, Big Pete, I gotta say, this is a tough one. I think we all are struggling to find a little connection out here at the end of times. But I think that your question's a real one. I think a lot of people are out there struggling with it right now. You've got the question of just how you're taking care of yourself, what you're gonna do if you meet a nice lady. What are you gonna have a nice date? What are you gonna treat her to? I think. Listen, you know, I'm really sorry to be the one to have to say this, because I know it's what you all are doing to sort of keep your identity going on in this apocalypse. Have you considered some other kind of sandwich, some other kind of a meal that you might want to, because you know, it's some other kind of treat you might want to give her? Because I'm thinking here, what you might want to do is focus on a way to stand out. Give whatever women you're talking to a sort of unique experience, so that they go, hey, this is a guy who's looking to the future. This is a guy who's looking for something new. He's looking to figure out a way forward right now. He's trying things out. He's experimenting. He's got some sort of vision and drive. And he's, if that means that we're not having a rat sandwich, if that means we got to try something new, this is a guy who knows what the future might look like. I don't know if that answers your question. I don't know if that's at all helpful, but my other advice is if you can rig up some kind of water purification system so you don't have to use the creek water, I think you called it, some kind of way of maybe evaporating it into the sun, evaporating it with whatever sunlight you guys are getting, getting it sort of more purified, more clean. You can maybe rig up some kind of shower with, I don't know if you have colander kind of thing, anything like that. Just trying to get it a little bit more purified. That's more on the fix it, hacking stuff together thing, which is my end of things. But do either of those answers help you at all?
Yeah, you know, they do pilot, and I think you got me thinking. Your last caller mentioned the mist sounds delightful. The mist sounds wonderful. So I think I might just, you know, hop on my electric bike, pack up some rat sandwiches and head it to Niagara. And, you know, I might just find a lady along the way. Cause you know, if I can't tempt her with my body smells and my rat sandwiches, then I mean, a barrel ride sounds like an adventure these days. So, you never know.
There's lots of people hitchhiking out there these days. You might just find someone.
Yeah. You know, go for a ride in a barrel, have a sandwich, you know, enjoy the creek. It'll be nice.
Yeah. Maybe you can even go for a ride on the Ferris wheel. Get a nice good view of that upside down falls after, of course, you have stopped by Mike's Barrel Shop.
Well, I'm going to do that. And, you know, like I said at the beginning, you know, just Holly, how you doing? You know, I will stop by Vermont on my way up there and maybe we can make it a tandem barrel ride. You know what I mean?
We'll look forward to seeing you. All right.
Thanks, Pilot.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Our next caller, Arthur. Is that the same Arthur? Arthur from Central Florida. You guys are, if that's you, you're moving fast.
Indeed I am. Pilot, long time, well, short time listener, second time caller on the show, as you may already know.
Hyundai's got a real engine on her.
Oh, well, we got real curious listening to what everybody was saying, so we traded, you know, some goods for some more fuel, and me and my brothers, we traded off, and we drove like the dickens down Florida. You know, we're in South Carolina, near the border, and so we kind of hauled on across as fast as we could, just see what was going on, because, you know, it sounds like end of days and all, and Florida's known for, you know, odd things at odd times of the year, and we just want to see what was going on. So we flew on down, you know, just drove, trading off. And, caller from Niagara Falls was talking about water going in the opposite direction. And we got down to the central part of Florida where the Everglades is. Mm-hmm. And now it's the Ever Desert.
And dear.
There's kangaroo rats and Gila monsters. And, which made it much easier to drive over them because it's all flat, like a salt flat.
Not so much. You're not going to worry about. Hey, you know what? You're not going to worry about getting any ditches, of that water coming up in the
no trees. The exactly right. So it was good pickings on them. Well, you know, it's not again. These are not big animals you can drive over, but you get a lot by the end of the day.
And it sort of adds up. Yeah. I see that.
So I just want, you know, just trying to report in conditions as we was making our way south. So just like I believe it was Chet was saying, it is dry the further south you go. We had too much water up home in Carolina, but down here it's just, it's kind of grim and dry.
And, got it.
And hey, I'd have never thought it could happen. It's like the end of days, I tell you.
It is a little bit like that. I do think. Listen, that's pretty coastal too. I gotta ask, are you seeing any of those lights?
Well, I knew you was gonna ask me that. I had a suspicion.
I always gotta ask about the lights. We gotta check.
I'm happy to report the lights is, I guess, a lot, mostly up and down the East Coast. I saw them again. I can't tell what time of day it is just by looking up. It could be nighttime. I don't know. The lights is so bright. Mm-hmm. What different times of the day? And again, I can't say this enough. It is not helping one bit to have those lights interrupting everything.
I was going to say, you guys are taking shifts to see who's driving, how are you guys going to get some rest if you have to sleep? Even if you can trade off, you know, you're not going to get to sleep with the... It ain't easy.
It ain't easy coming up with that roster of who's on deck, who's on watch, and who's collecting up, the little critters. So, but again, we're getting by. We're still getting our fair share of goods to barter with. And I have to say, this Hyundai's holding up well, even though we about ran it into the ground trying to get down here, and be able to call in again. It was not easy, but I'm glad to participate, glad to hear her, and I wish everyone, safe travels.
Yeah, you too. It sounds like you guys are real troopers up there. I do have to, it's just come to my mind. I do have to ask. It sounds like things are pretty dry out there. Have you passed any hell slime, or do you think that's going on further south? That kind of thing.
Well, I've been listening the whole trip down from Buford, and I heard Luigi tell us all about the hell slime, and that sounded like a vision, just a terrible thing, terrible. And so I was keeping a keen eye out. I really was. It put me on alert. And so as we was driving around, the Ever Desert, it's like, well, I see, it's still pretty flat, and I'm hoping the hell slime doesn't camouflage itself. They're out on the salt flat that used to be the Everglades, now the Ever Desert. So I was keeping an eye out, and we came upon what I thought was maybe a quicksand, a little bit of, wet spot. And I think I might have found Luigi's hell slime, but not widespread, not
it's
chasing us nowhere like
okay.
It was. It's not like Luigi had a real bad, as he got higher up the mountain, that hell slime was just cutting off all means to escape. But we was able to escape.
Okay,
now
we
only got three wheels now, because that hell slime is very potent, I have to say. So the wheel that touched it, That's gone.
Okay.
That's gone. So we's dragging, you can imagine all down kind of crooked on one side. And thank goodness this car's got front wheel drive. Those Japanese cars is amazing, front wheel drive. So we could lose both wheels as long as they's on the back. So we're down one. We could take it one more, but it's going to be a little tough after we lose that second wheel.
I hate to think
if we lost the front wheel, but
I'm glad you guys are still going, and I'm glad that's some advice that we can pass along to any listeners out there. If you have the chance, pick a car with front wheel drive. If you get the choice, just you never know when it'll come in handy.
It'll save you in situations you thought you'd never be in. Mm-hmm. I tell you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling back in and letting us know how you're doing, Arthur. I think that we have time for just one more caller real quick. I'm seeing Bob from Chicago. You're back. How's it going?
Oh, thanks. I just wanted to thank you. We put our canoe together, and we're about to try it out. We're going to launch this in the water right now. We got a decoy ready, and I just wanted to say thank you. It was a brilliant, brilliant plan, and we're going to try it out in just a couple seconds here.
So. Oh, great. Great, great, great. I'm glad to hear it. Listen, I'm so glad that you guys were all able to come together and get that canoe rocking and rolling. And listen, you want to stick around on broadcast for launch, or do you think that it'll interfere with your setup to have the radio going?
I think we're going now here. So, I'm going to stay on as long as I can here. So, thanks for the advice, and we're going to take it in right now. And oh God.
Well, you know what? It sounds like those guys were some real go-getters. They were putting together whatever they could with whatever they had. I am so, so proud of you, Bob. You guys, everybody on the L train, I think that you have been, people are really just doing their best out there in this tough times, in this, you know what, I will come out and say it, this apocalypse. Everybody, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm glad that you guys are out there plowing forward into the future, and I am, as always, honored, happy, just so, so lucky to be able to broadcast to you all today and to connect with you guys in this way. Thank you. This has been You Break It, I Fix It Hour with Pilot, broadcasting from Treehouse Down. Who knows when we'll get the chance to do this again, everybody, but it has been amazing. Thank you all, and have a great night.